Hey, beautiful people. I'm Sarah, and welcome to my show, Ignited by Inner Beauty, a podcast that is setting the world on fire with body positivity, female empowerment, and self-love. If you need some feel-good vibes and a reminder of just how beautiful you truly are, then you came to the right place. I'm so excited to share what's in store for you today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 42 of Ignited by Inner Beauty. If you'd like to support the show, please write a review for me on Apple Podcasts, and you can also check out my recent launch of my storefront on ignitedbyinnerbeauty.com, where you can buy fun things and that will remind yourself of your inner beauty. We have mugs and soap and candles and a lot of fun items on there, stickers, just to remind you of how you are beautiful inside and out. On the podcast today, you'll be hearing from Rissa. It was such an absolute pleasure to talk with her and interview her. She has a truly inspiring story about really overcoming a lot of challenges and also pushing her body and her mind to the max. She is the author of the memoir, The Road Unpaved, Border to Border with a Brain Tumor and a Bike. And she talks about, receiving this diagnosis, having a brain tumor, but also not letting that stop her from living big. And she talks about, obviously going on this huge and incredible journey to ride her bike from Canada to Mexico. But also she talks about just the journey along that and what it was like to really overcome such a difficult time. And it was just incredible talking with her, to have such a positive attitude and a really just a love for life and what she can do was just so inspiring to hear. And I absolutely loved chatting with her, and I know you'll love hearing from her today. So without further ado, here is Rissa. Well, thank you so much, Rissa, for joining me on Ignited by Inner Beauty. I'm so grateful to have you today. Why don't you start us off by introducing yourself and talking a little bit about how you are ignited by inner beauty?
Sure. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to be here. And my name is Rissa August. I'm based in Colorado. And oh my gosh, where do I begin? This is a big question. I'm a Gestalt practitioner, and I'm also a patient advocate and also a speaker. I love life. I love living life big. And why is it that question always hard to answer about ourselves? But as far as ignited by inner beauty, oh my gosh, this is such a big deal for me. Not just because I'm a woman and I go through I've been going through the changes in my body just as I age, but in 2018, I was diagnosed with a rare disease. I have a tumor at the base of my brain, and it causes a rare disease called acromegaly. And what this disease does, it dumps excessive amounts of growth hormone into a person's body. And so essentially you don't stop growing, and it destroys your body over time, because your bones change, your soft tissues change. And so now I have this next layer of, oh my gosh, my body's changing in all kinds of weird ways. And so instead of fighting that, I wanted to really embrace it. And so I did a really big photo shoot to really embrace all of my beauty inside and out, and like really unleash what was inside of me and like put it out there on camera. And so I don't know if that really answers your question, but it's a big deal for me. So again, I'm so grateful to be here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you're here, and thank you. I think that's a wonderful answer. And I love how you also said that you live life big. That's such a great way of putting it. And I'm excited to dive more into your story, because it definitely sounds like you do. So tell me a little bit about the process or the journey of like noticing your changing body when you found out you had a tumor, and how that affected, you know, your body, your mental health, your health. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So I was an endurance athlete. So I was racing in Ironman races, which are long distance triathlons, in case people haven't heard of them before. And so I was really in tune with my body. And it was around just after my first Ironman race, I just started noticing changes, like extreme weight gain, even though I was very stringent with my diet, and just struggling with like extreme fatigue, joint pain, even things like excessive hair growth and stuff, which I chalked up to aging and my Romanian heritage. And I kept going to my doctor, and she kept saying, "No, your blood work's good. You're fine. And you're an athlete. I'm not worried." And I couldn't explain it. And so it took about 7 or 8 years before it all felt very much out of control. And I was probably 58 pounds heavier than I normally am. I had severe headaches. I couldn't recover from my training sessions. And I finally said, "Hey, I need an MRI or something. Like, I want to rule out anything that's going on." And after several attempts at pleading with my doctor to order me one, she finally did. And that's when they found the tumor. And then that's when they also discovered this rare disease. And it just explained, it's a hormone disorder. So it explained everything that was going on. And as a woman ages, we already deal with that change in hormones, right? So it was really hard to diagnose this. And so that began the next steps in my journey.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that. It just made me think, as you're kind of looking for maybe a diagnosis here, some understanding of what's happening, did you, you mentioned at the beginning, I think, that you are like an advocate for patients. Did you feel like you were listened to by doctors, or was that really a struggle?
Oh, that was a big challenge. Especially, because I was thinking, okay, women have a lot of thyroid issues. So I kept looking at the thyroid, and I was doing all my own research, and my doctor just kept saying, "No, your thyroid levels are fine. You know, your blood work's fine." And so, yes, I came out of this process very angry initially. And I just, was so against medical professionals and like, "Oh my gosh," and they don't listen. And I started realizing that, wait a minute, we need these people on our side. Like, we should be working together to get these, rare diseases and things that are hard to diagnose diagnosed. And so, but I was, when I found out about my acromegaly, I couldn't find information about it. There wasn't a lot of information out there or resources. So I was like, okay, I'm going to bring attention to this. I didn't know how I was going to do it. But it started off with a personal soul journey. I was like, okay, I need something to live for and do. I'm no longer going to be able to run again. But I can bike. And so I took out my bucket list and I'm like, I'm going to ride my bike from Canada to Mexico down the Pacific coast. And that started off as like, and I'm going to do it to heal. And I'm going to do it to prove to everyone that this thing isn't bringing me down. But then it turned into, well, people started taking notice. They were interested in this. They're like, you're doing what? And I was like, well, if I can bring some attention to my disease by doing this bike ride, maybe I'll do that. And so I didn't know what that meant either. I'm like, okay, maybe I can get a jersey that says acromegaly on it or something so that people will Google it. It's such a weird name, you know? But it actually turned into a really big collaborative effort with medical professionals and pharmaceutical companies and other rare disease organizations. And they were, I had their support, and so I rode my bike down the coast, and it took 6 weeks, and then I wrote a book about it. And
Oh my gosh, wow. So much there. Well, I'm so glad that, you did have the experience, I guess, in the end of being on the same team and feeling supported by medical staff. And also, I feel like really advocating for your own self and your own like diagnosis there and getting more awareness of it. That's so great. But just tell me about this process. Like, what made you think of this? I know you mentioned you were into running. Were you just like a need to like be, find an exercise and a way to like move your body again? Or was it also just like, I assume there's a lot of like, it's like a mental thing too, to prepare for something that huge.
Yes, there's probably a lot of layers to that, but I remember, I was really grieving the loss of who I was. Like I would no longer be that person. Not just because physically I wouldn't be able to do a lot of the endurance things I was doing in the past, but it also I had radiation treatment and surgery, they were fishing around in my brain. So, I've had some cognitive and memory issues as well. And so, and if anyone knew me before, I was an extremely detailed person. I had my own wedding and event planning company, and, organization was my thing. And that was changing too. Like just simply by seeing mistakes when I'm drafting an email first to someone, mistakes I would have never made before. So there was this grieving of who I letting go of who I was, and like, what does that mean? Who am I now? And trying to embrace that. And so I stopped focusing on what I could no longer do. And I started focusing on what I could do and what was possible. And it really did start off with, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of bed today? Okay, well, I can get out of bed and I can brush my teeth. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom anyways. I can brush my teeth while I'm in there, and then it turned into, well, I can get out of my pajamas and into some, clothes or yoga pants or something. And then I, made it downstairs and to the couch, and then I would, maybe I'll go for a walk today. And that took a while. I took a while for me to get there. And I actually took up painting. And I don't consider myself an artist at all, but I really got inspired by Native American talking sticks. I work in kind of the therapeutic realm. And I thought, oh my gosh, I know a lot of practitioners who might use these in their circles. And so I started painting them for gifts, and now I sell them around the world. And then, but then it turned into making it to the mailbox and then making it a mile. And it was really one step at a time, but that's what I had to do. In each moment, I had to ask myself, well, what can I do in this moment? And so it was a slow process, and I had to be very patient with it. And it wasn't easy.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I mean, well, it seems like you had such a great attitude, like that mental strength of like flipping it around and what can I do is such a great like way of looking at life and a way to, take it one step at a time, like you mentioned. So tell me about, getting up to that point and starting your journey via bike. Were there any moments where you're like, oh my goodness, like why have I done this? Or was it yeah, tell me about it.
Well, I remember I was sitting on the couch and in the same gray sweatpants I'd been in for what felt like years. And you really do, when something like this happens, or well, I guess I can't speak for everyone, but I became very reflective on my life. And I really was like, wait a minute, I really want to embrace, like I want to do life. I don't want to just keep talking about it. I don't want to just be talking about all the things I want to do. I want to actually do them. And riding from coast to coast was always on my bucket list. And so just for the heck of it, I started looking at different routes, and none of them were appealing to me. And then I came across the Pacific Coast Highway, and I didn't even think about it. I was just like, yep, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I signed on with a tour company that offers what's called like semi-supported. So they transport your gear for you from stop to stop. And I thought, okay, I don't have to worry about my gear. I just have to get myself from point A to point B. And I just kind of broke it down into like, okay, just have to like point A to point B. And so yeah, my journey began there, but it still took me, I had 14 months to train, and it still took me several, a couple months to like four to be exact, to actually get back on my bike. And then I just found my groove, and I like I said, I had to let go of expectation. I was someone who could ride 100 miles in a day, no problem. And now I was looking at 8 miles, maybe. Like, I didn't know. And so I had to let go of all the expectation around that. And so I did. I worked my way up, and then I completed my first 100 miles post-surgery, and that was so empowering for me to, it's like that it's like that mindset of like there was just something that, okay, now I can do this, now I can do this. And so yeah, so finally I made it to the Canadian border and started from there. And I think you kind of asked me about a little bit about that journey. Yes, the first couple of weeks were actually extremely challenging. It was very rainy and cold. I was sleeping in my tent every night, and it's one thing to kind of train daily or every other day at home, and then you get to go home to a hot shower and whatever food you want and all that. It's a whole nother thing to like, you have to get up the next day, you have to pack up a wet tent, you have to eat in the rain or the cold, or There's no guarantee you'll have a hot shower or even have a shower that night. There's all these other elements that kind of present their own challenges. And then I had this whole other layer of medication and dealing with that because it requires refrigeration, and I have to figure out where I can get the injection and all kinds of that, things like that. So I definitely had moments where I was like, why did I do this? Like, what? What? But then that shifted over the 6 weeks, that transformed into something really, really beautiful. So.
Wow, that's amazing. Were you just the plan? I mean, just hearing the planning that it took and the training and the preparation, it's like putting, I mean, your body's already going through a lot and you're like putting it to the test, pushing its limits for sure. But were you by yourself doing this, or did you have anyone alongside riding near you?
There was nine other people sharing the van, and so all of our gear was transported from
Okay.
place to place. I speak to this in my book, but I started off like, I don't want to be around anybody. This is my ride. I'm doing it on my own. I have a lot of healing to do. There's a lot of personal things I was going through aside from this new diagnosis. I was very standoffish and just, like, no, this is my ride. I only hired the van, so I didn't have to worry about my gear. And that shifted as well. That turned into something really spectacular. And so a lot of learning, a lot of learning and lessons, and again, all about shifting mindset and embracing like some of the magic that surrounds us.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. So did you ended up kind of forming a community or getting to know some of those other people you were traveling with in a way?
Yeah, we and all introduced ourselves prior to the ride. And so I had this video that I had just won an award for. It was just a short, like 3 minute video, but I entered a contest and I won an award, and it was about my diagnosis and journey and how I worked my way up to doing this big ride. And so I think people came in just having this preconceived notion about me as like, oh, okay, there's going to be this sick girl and we need to take care of her. And I was like, determined to prove to the world that I didn't need anybody to take care of me. And it really turned into, wait a minute, but it's okay to have people looking out for you. And so I really connected with a couple of the people. And so we kind of most days would ride together and just look out for each other. And then there were some days that, we were all solo and doing our own thing. But yeah, there were a few people that I really formed close relationships with.
That's so sweet. Did you find yourself like reflecting and thinking as you biked along the way? Any big revelations on this journey?
I definitely used, yes, definitely a lot of like crying and screaming and joy and all of it. And I feel a little emotional around this. I don't, I think I think my big awareness was that I thought I would go on this trip and at the end of it, like it would be some pilgrimage. And at the end of it, I would just have it all figured out. I'd have all these complicated things that were going on in my life figured out. And it would be good. And I would just feel so good. And that's not what happened at all. Like I still had to face all those very challenging things. They didn't disappear. They were there waiting for me at the end. And so I think the awareness I had was like, once I settled in and let go of my, I'm doing this on my own, and actually just settled into what was right in front of me in the moment. Like, I hate to say it, like the what's a cliche phrase, but like it's not about the destination, it's the journey, right? And it really was. It was, I could waste my time just fighting all this and being resistant and doing all that, or I could actually just settle in and enjoy what was right in front of me. And all that stuff we have that happens in our lives, like it's still going to be there. And I'll face it when I get to it. And but now I could come at it from a different perspective. And I did, it did. I really learned to, yeah, just shift perspective around things.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Wow, it definitely sounds like, while doing this may not have like removed anything or changed the situations that you're in and living with, kind of reinforced or reminded you of your like the strength that you do have to be like, wow, I did all this. That's amazing. Being hopefully super proud of yourself for like doing something probably not many people have done.
Yes, thank you for saying that. Because yes, I definitely did feel accomplished, and I did feel like, because there was a medical professional that said, "Well, you shouldn't do this ride." I had an un underlying another complication to from surgery, and it's like it's pretty dangerous for you to do this ride, and I was like, well, challenge accepted. And it was a good reminder of like, I did the right, I accomplished it. And so no one gets to tell me what I should or can't do. I get to make that decision, and I have the power to make that decision. And so I think that was a really good lesson for me in my life, and that's really a big thing I took away from this as well, is like really stepping into who I am, how I want to live according to Rissa's plan or agenda, or whatever we want to call it. Like I get to choose. I get to decide the lens I view my world through. I get to decide how I move forward in it and who I am in it. And so much came from that. Down to how I dress, what I eat. Like, I get to make all those decisions. And it might sound silly, but it was a big deal for me. Big deal. Especially coming from a life of just trying to keep everyone else happy and accommodate everyone else and adjust accordingly to everyone else. And so, for me to pick out a cute pair of earrings that I want was actually a really big deal for me. So,
I love that. Such empowerment, right? Like that you feel like empowerment yourself and your own autonomy to live how you want. I love that so much. So did you do the photo shoot after you returned from your trip? Is that more of a okay? So tell me a little bit about that. So you talked a little bit about the kind of the grieving process of your body changing and the challenges that that came along with. So how did it go from grieving that to feeling really good and doing a fun photo shoot that where you could, feel good and comfortable in your body?
yeah, so I came across this project that shout out to Shauna Lee Studios in Portland, Oregon, that she was doing a 40 Women Over 40 project, and it was also pairing your story to this photo shoot. So you get to tell your story, and then you get this incredible photo shoot. And I'm going to be very vulnerable here. I've always been the one to take photos of everyone else. And I've never had anyone who's wanted to capture me. and say, wow, you're so beautiful. Oh my God, that's such a, this would be such a good photo of you. Let me take, like, I've never had that. I always been the one to do that. And so I thought, oh my gosh, this could be my turn. And I wanted to go into this photo shoot full out. Like, I wanted to bring all my clothes that I've, you know, this new person I was stepping into, and these, I love wearing tutus and things like that. And it wasn't until, you know, she was like, are you ready to feel beautiful? And I was kind of like, I'm going to have fun with this photo shoot, but I'm not convinced that I can actually look at the images and feel beautiful. And part of that is looking back at images from the past, I always looked at myself and was like, why do I look so much bigger than everyone else in the photo? You know, I had no idea that I was essentially a giant. And you'd see me, and I'm not that much of a giant, but I always felt like I was so much bigger. And I never did love photos. I never did love looking at photos of myself. And so I was skeptical. And when she showed me the first image of me, she had made this Douglas fir crown for my head because I'm this, you know, people see me as this very earthy person. And I'm leaning against this beautiful window with this beautiful tree, this just bright green on the other side of the window. And I just put my hand over my mouth and just started sobbing. And I was like, oh my God. And that to me was a picture of someone else I would always see. You know, I would see that picture of someone else and be like, that is beautiful. But this time it was actually me. So that was life changing for me. And so yeah, so now I have a big photo album.
Oh, wonderful.
All my amazing photos. And it was an incredible, incredible opportunity. And so something I would encourage anyone to do, even if you like camera is not your thing, it's really life-changing. So
that's so wonderful. I mean, I think just what you're saying is very relatable. A lot of people like don't want to, you know, don't feel comfortable, or, you know, I definitely do it myself. I'm picking apart a picture like, oh, what? I don't like that about myself. I don't like this. So it's really tough, but it's so lovely to hear you like relish in this moment where you feel beautiful and empowered, and you can just sit back and admire ourselves. I mean, I totally agree. I feel like everyone should have that experience, and I'm sure, you know, definitely finding a photographer and experience like that who can trust and to create a comfortable environment definitely contributes for sure.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I walked out there with the biggest, most awesomest, confident attitude, and I felt great. And I actually had a couple comments on the street. It's like, oh my gosh, you're looking sharp. And it was just such a cool experience.
I love that. Has that changed how you feel about your body now? Or is it, maybe it changes day to day?
Yeah, it probably does change from day to day, but not to the extremes as it used to. I feel that, and I speak to this a little bit in my book, we just get in our own way with these limiting beliefs, and I could either, how is it going to serve me if I tear myself down? You know, like I could easily list off all the things I struggle with on a daily basis that most people don't have to. But if I focus there, how does that serve me? You know, but what I do know is, oh my gosh, I could put on one of my favorite outfits and go to a coffee shop and enjoy an almond steamer and read a good book and just feel fabulous, or I can connect with a friend. You know, how is it gonna serve me to, yeah, focus on the things I don't love? And the thing is, the less I have focused on those things, the more I actually have developed this love for myself. You know, I can stand here and say confidently, I'm actually a really incredible person, and I love people, and I have a big heart, and I'm genuine and loyal and committed. And I just I can say that with confidence. And so yeah.
Oh, I
I'm
love hearing that. No,
bragging
that's exactly what it
about
is. And I it's a great transition. I was just going to ask, what is the, your favorite thing about yourself that doesn't have to do with your appearance?
Oh, that's such a great question. Favorite thing about me. I am so open and open to experiencing life fully. And what I mean by that is many things is I'm open to different perspectives. I'm open to other people's way of thinking, way of living, way of being. I'm open to, I love experiencing other cultures, and I love learning. It's all about learning. I'm a big listener. I love to hear other people's stories. It took me a long time to get to this point where I'm the one telling my story, because I love learning about other people. It makes me better. It makes me understand how the world operates a little better, and how people, how different we all are, yet we're all very human and have a beating heart as well. And so, yeah, I love that I learn, and I love that I'm so open to what's possible and what's out there.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, that like do everything, see everything, experience everything type of attitude. I love it.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned a little bit at the beginning. So you tell me about working in the therapeutic realm and your current role there.
Yeah, so part of this journey, was and perhaps this was serendipitous, but just before my diagnosis, I started exploring the world of Gestalt therapy. And Gestalt is a holistic approach to therapy or coaching, and it's looking at people not as broken, but as healing these fragmented parts of ourselves and bringing them back together to make us whole again. And I was really fascinated with it. And so I went on this 2-year journey and became a certified practitioner. And that's been amazing too, because I was able to do my own healing, but also help other people, help guide other people through their own healing journeys. And once you've been through it yourself, you know, you just have such a better understanding of it.
Yeah, really. I'm sure it's really, incredible and meaningful to people you work with as well, to have someone who has a lot of experience with that and healing. And wow, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that therapy before, but maybe I'm just in a dark hole. That's really cool. So it's like a combination of coach. I guess what makes that different from like traditional talk therapy,
Oh
I guess?
yeah,
I don't know.
so I'm not actually a licensed therapist, so I'm considered a certified coach or practitioner, and there's more freedom in that, and it's a very experiential approach. So this is just non-traditional, and The term Gestalt is a German word that loosely means wholeness,
Oh, it's wonderful.
and it's been around for a long time,
It's really
but I
cool.
think it's just starting to kind of, make its way into into the society a little more. But
Yeah, I love the way you described it, like seeing, not seeing people as broken, but that's really wonderful. This is so lovely chatting with you. I have really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this as well. And where can people find you, find your book, and anything else I missed, anything else you want to share?
No, that's great. Thank you so much again for having me. And you can find me on my website, rissaaugust.com, and it's RISA August, just like the month. And I have a author page there that has a list of options for purchasing my book, because I know a lot of people like to support, different entities. So I try to give everyone a choice. And my book is on paperback, ebook, and I narrate it on audiobook as well. And it's called The Road Unpaved, Border to Border with a Brain Tumor and a Bike.
That's wonderful. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to pick myself up a copy and read that. That's wonderful. And thank you just for sharing your inner and outer beauty with everyone. I just loved hearing from you. And yes, it was wonderful. I think everyone will really enjoy this. So thank you for your
Oh
time.
my gosh, thank you so much for this opportunity and for the work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode of Ignited by Inner Beauty. I hope this episode served as a reminder of just how beautiful and worthy you are. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe, provide a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and share this episode with a friend. For more information about Ignited by Inner Beauty, please go to ignitedbyinnerbeauty.com and sign up for my email list to keep up to date on new blog posts and podcast episodes. If you'd like to support my mission of empowering women, you can go to patreon.com/ignitedbyinnerbeauty and receive some exclusive content and giveaways. If you're not already following me on social media, please follow me on Instagram @ignitedbyinnerbeauty and Twitter @ignitedbeauty. Thank you again for joining me, and please tune in for the next episode.